the sheer best for the Brahman and the Mila. But it's really a wide topic. And that is the Mishnah tells us, as we know, the Mishnah at the end of Sefer Makos tells us, maybe, arguably, the most famous Mishnah in all Shas. Arguably. Right? It's the Mishnah that Klal Yisrael has picked to, whenever they want to say a Mishnah, get another Malgadah to be able to say a Kaddish. That's the Mishnah that's picked, the Rukinim of Kashi Omer. What's not going to struggle is Akos Yisrael. Lefika Chebalim Torah Mitzvah. So Hananiah says, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give his chus to Am Yisrael, therefore he gave us so many Torah and mitzvahs. Already the Rishonim already bothered. Is this really a chus? The Rambam, the Maharal, right? Rishonim and Achronim are all questioned. What's the logic of the mitzvah? Hashem wants to give us a chus. He gives us so many mitzvahs. Give us a chus and give us six mitzvahs. 613 doesn't sound like a chus. It's so much work. It's so hard. It's so challenging. Ask the Rambam on the Mishnah. Ask the Maharal. Ask many Rishonim, many Achronim. What exactly is the message of this mitzvah? So again, we're not going to give their pshatim right now. But you could ask a similar question, just with different words. Same question, just a different way of asking it. Many times we meet people, maybe we even feel that mitzvos are so limiting, especially the Losa says, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this. So how am I supposed to approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu with this all? It's an all, Malchus Shamayim. But I don't want it to be an all. I don't want to feel enchained and held down and negative, so to speak. So how are we supposed to view the package of mitzvos that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us as a schus? And that's the question that we're going to deal with, hopefully, over the next couple of minutes. Right? We say every night, Kihem Chayenu V'Yaruch Yemeinu. This is our life. Kihem Chayenu, that's a different attitude than, you know, one might have thought with so many different rules and regulations. So what exactly is the message for us? So, in the time that we have, five ideas. Try to squeeze it in. I don't know how many minutes per source that we have, but we'll see. Whatever we don't get to, it'll be mostly Torah Shabbat Pat. Five ideas relating to this issue of Ribui Mitzvos. It's based on some of the other answers, but again, it'll be packaged a little differently. Number one, sacrifice. If anybody wants to develop a relationship, let's say with a person, how do relationships get built? Through sacrifice, through giving, through shaping my life based on the other one's needs and desires and values. But the successful marriage is when each one sacrifices and limits their own behavior for the good of the relationship, for the good of each other. I'm not going to do something because I know you don't want me to do it. I'm going to do something because I know you want me to do it. I will act based on your ritzonos. I will sacrifice and limit. Marriage.com. A relationship involves two people. Two imperfect, selfish, independent people. Unlike fairy tales, true love stories lean very heavily on compromise and sacrifice to flourish. This is not on your sheet. Right. What? Sorry. You can find it yourself. Marriage.com. Right. What are you willing to sacrifice to ensure your relationship is successful? And another one. Preengage.com. Another one. Getting up 2 hours early each morning to ensure an income your family needs by working overtime is a sacrifice. Marriages are full of opportunities to sacrifice, but they're even good for us too. They build character in us and intimacy between us and our loved ones. When we give for others, when our behavior is focused on others, other beings' desires, that itself engenders when there's compromise, right? That's the ultimate, as we know, the Bali Musar's message of mezuzah. From Achokas Rashi Tosis and Mesechas Benachas, what is the problem? A mezuzah can't be straight up, a mezuzah can't be horizontal, so we do both, right? In the middle, diagonal, because that Rashi does not passel and Tosis does not passel, right? Some ask, what do you mean? So it's not Rashi or Tosis. Neither of them say what you should do. They just say what you can't do, right? So Rashi and Tosis, one says that you can't have it straight up, one says that you can't have it flat, so we do it diagonal. So it works for both. That's the message of compromise as you go into a house, right? That's the first message that a husband and wife see. As they go into a house, they see compromise, sacrifice. So that applies to two human beings. beings, but it also applies to us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It's a beautiful Sefer Ikarim in source number 3. Yosef Alba, who discusses Bris Ben Abasarim, very unusual. You think about it, back to Bris Ben Abasarim and Sefer Bereishis. What was the way that they used to make agreements in those days? We used to cut an animal in half, put it on two sides, and walk between the animal. Bein HaBasarim. A covenant between the parts, between the pieces. That's really strange. Right? Why would that be the way to make a covenant, make an agreement? So Avram walked in between, and then the fire, which symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, walked in between. What's the message? Says the Sefer Yikarim. It's all at the end of the Sefer, the end of Maamar Dalid. Because when you have a covenant, the covenant is saying that the two parties in the covenant are two halves of a whole. And it's really one unit. And that's Bein HaBasarim. You cut the animal in half and you walk in between to symbolize that we are really, the two parties walking through these two halves are themselves two halves. And since that moment of Bris Bein HaBasarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael are two halves of one whole. It's a marriage. And just like in a marriage, there's sacrifice. So that's number one. The more we limit and structure our behavior for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is this Hashem's Rasonos? That's a divine, you know, asking what's behind why. You can't ask why for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could ask what. What does Hashem want from me? 613 likes and dislikes. If I model my behavior for Him, if I sacrifice, if I limit, if I shape my behavior, that itself helps grow and deepens and intensifies the relationship like any giving or sacrifice. And Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sacrifices for Am Yisrael also. Kaviyachol. The Gemara says in Yuma, turning over to the next top of the next page, Gemara talks about Hakel HaGadol, HaGibra VaNora, why the Anshei Knesset HaGadola are called Anshei Knesset HaGadola. So the Gemara says in one line, Adarabba, Hashem has a Gibor. What's the Gvur of Hashem? He's Kovesh as Yitzro by having patience with us. Hashem, so to speak, limits. Even Al Pi Kabbalah, which we're not getting into now. Rav Khan said a few nights ago that you can't talk about Kabbalah. But anyway, there's a concept of Tzimtzum. What does Tzimtzum mean? Tzimtzum means Hashem is Moloch Al Eretz Kvodo. Hashem has to somehow limit His presence in order to allow there to be existence. That anything else should exist. So He has to be we don't understand this, but we know it's a concept. Hashem is Mitzamtzim Himself. He limits Himself so that we can exist. In other words, He sacrifices. He limits Kaviyachol for us. So it's a sacrifice in both directions, from both sides, and that builds the relationship. Right? The famous, I didn't give it to you, but the famous Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler writes in Mechtem Elio, the Kudras HaChesed, where he talks about many people think that the more you love, the more you give. Why do parents give to their kids so much? Because they love them. It says Rav Dessler, it's just the opposite. The more you give, the more you love. Parents give so much to their children, therefore they love their children so much. Giving leads to love. And that's giving, so to speak, we model our life after to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one. Number two, we'll call this one freedom. Again, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos, why is it so great? Freedom. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, in source number 6, Ein lecha ben chorin elami sheyasok b'torah, yasok b'tal b'torah, different yourselves. There's no one truly free unless they're osik b'torah. And if you ask the average person on the street, they'll say, what does that mean? I am free. I don't have to learn Torah all day. I don't have to do mitzvahs all day. It's just the opposite. It's the opposite. What do you mean? I'm really free. But if you think about it, Rabbi Lau writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, an amazing commentary, 6 fat volumes, Yachla Yisrael, Yisrael Meir Lau, the previous chief rabbi. He writes, really, if you think about it, none of us are free. Nobody in the world is free. We're slaves to some type of value. Something out there in the world. Some people are a slave to money. Some people are a slave to fancy cars. Some people are a slave to sports, watching or playing. Some people are a slave to exercise. Some people, like, this is like, what's the anchor? What's the, you know, non-negotiable part of my life? That's what I'm a slave to. Some people are a slave to their phones. They're meshubit to their phones, right? We feel naked if we don't have a phone with us. Even more than if we're not wearing tzitzis. It's like we don't have our phone? Well, oh my God, like how do I leave the house? I'm like, what am I going to do? We'll have to we're Meshubitar phone. So are we really free? Started a few months ago, but it's pointed out when I turned off my phone before Shabbos. Zochas Yom Shabbos Kach. It's like such a cathartic. Because that's when you're free. Rabbi Jachter tells over, writes in one of his, you have it in Reason to Believe, TABC, right? Rabbi Jachter writes, a fascinating story in source number 8. He writes, he knew of a certain rabbi who was raised as a non-observant Jew, and he was in Israel, and he decided to become frum, and it was the first Shabbos he decided, I'm going to be frum this Shabbos. He was so excited. And one day, a great, beautiful Shabbos, he gets back to his room where he's staying, and the lights are on. The lights on in his room. It's like, oh, gosh. You know, I didn't really start yet. It's my first one. Oh, big deal. Okay, I'll turn it off. I didn't really start yet. It's all, you know, this will be everything but. He's like, no, but I said I started. He's like, I'm back and forth. So what does he do? He overcomes, and he sleeps with the light on. And he doesn't turn off the lights. And he said at that moment, when he woke up in the morning, he never felt so free in his life. I didn't sleep so well. He said, I felt freedom because I wasn't held hostage to what I wanted to do. Inlecha ben Chor and Elish Yaso Batorah. The more we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it takes us out of the things that we have to be mishubet to something in life. So really, freedom is connection to Hashem. Because if we're slave to anything else in the world, so that's really true, servitude. But the ultimate freedom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines, is Eilecha Bechar Nelam Yishiyasek Batorah. Right, that's what Rashi quotes also in Vayikra, in Perachav, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, line 9, source 9. A person, I hate pig, I don't have any tiber for Kilayim. You could say you want it, but Hashem says not. Hashem says not, so I'm not a slave to that. I'm only kosher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two. Number three. So we have sacrifice. Number two, freedom. Number three, real benefits. It says over and over again in the Torah, and we only have one book that was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says over and over again in the Torah, keeping the mitzvot are good for you. It's good. Hashem says it's good. The ultimate doctor says this is going to keep you healthy. Just give one example, or two examples. So it's over and over again in Dvarim also. By the way, the Bali Musar say the greatest Musar book ever is Sefer Dvarim. You have more chizuk in Sefer Dvarim than the whole rest of the Torah. Sefer Dvarim, every pasuk is you're awesome, and Yasisa Yashva Tov, and you can do it. Hashem loves you. We'll talk about it eventually, maybe, and actually it'll be girls' one. But anyway, so in Dvarim, Vishamar deschukav is bisvosav source of ten, Asher yitav lecha, uvarech acharech uban yarech yomim. And the next pasuk, Rekabinis avicha, leman avicha yimech lan yitav lecha. It's good for us. Torah is good for us both in a practical realm and in a personal realm. As we just said, the freedom is a great thing. But right, there are many examples in Chazal. The Gemara says in Sechas Nida how Hilchas Nida is supposed to keep the romance going throughout a marriage. There's a honeymoon every month. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Nida Lamed Aleph. There's an unbelievable story. We're not going to read it now. If you never saw it, feel free. Source 14. Menachas Mendalet, how Tzitzis saves a person from sin. Uzachartem is komis vos Hashem. The person's about to do an Avera, the Tzitzis come, and the Gemara says, whacks him on the face. Stop doing the Avera. Is it literal? Is it not literal? But either way, the fact that he wears Tzitzis maybe makes him into a person that's prevented. Right? There are benefits. Shabbos. As we go through life, we realize, like, imagine a life without Shabbos. It's unfathomable. There'll never be a stop. Imagine a life without a Rosh Hashanah. There'll never be a time where I have to stop and think, okay, do a Cheshbon HaNefesh, and say, what am I doing with my life? How am I doing? How did I do this year? On December 31st at night, I don't think many people think about how is their spiritual year. Right, maybe they're so upset about that, that's why they drink. I don't know. I don't think so. But again, what are they thinking about? Party! What do we think about Rosh Hashanah? What the greatest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us? A day to reset, to reboot. What a gift. Shabbos. Right? We're Shabbos is amazing. Right now, even in the secular world, they're trying to get a 24-hour respite at some time during the week to try to turn off your cell phones. Turn off your cell phones. Who was I talking to recently? I don't remember who I was talking to recently. Maybe, I don't remember who it was, but somebody told me a story about somebody in the shul. Oh, I think it was Marcus. They were talking to this grandfather wanted to take his granddaughter out for the graduation. Is this story? Did he say the story? The story? He wanted to take her to really, this not yet, this is what he said. Imagine this non-Jew, did he say it, Ray Marcus? He said it, maybe he told me, I thought he said it here. Anyway, so he said, this non-Jew, this grandfather wanted to take the granddaughter out to this fancy restaurant, and it was amazing, and he planned it, and he said, just one condition, I'm going to take you out to this really fancy restaurant, you can't bring your phone into the store, into the restaurant. An hour and a half, just with your grandfather. She couldn't do it. She said, I'm sorry, I can't. It's good for us to communicate. That relates to the freedom one also. She couldn't go. She didn't go out. Because number three, there's real benefits by Shabbos, by mitzvahs. There's so many. And there's a Rambam. The Rambam writes beautifully. The Perek Dalet is on your sheet. He's on the Torah. The Rambam writes, Ru'uyin heimach dimon shehein, the mitzvos, hatova hagdola sheishpia kadosh baruch hu liyishav olam hazeh. The greatest good that Hashem did for this world is giving us the mitzvos. Kedei linchol l'chai olam haba. Obviously to get olam haba. But I'm giving examples of even in this world, it makes it better and more fulfilling. But either way, real benefits. Obviously, the Sefer HaChinuch, 100 times in the Sefer HaChinuch, he writes, mitzvos are all about refining us, perfecting us. Right? We do this mitzvah, and this will make us into refined people. Baal Tashchis will make us not destructive human beings. And the Sefer HaChinuch, many, many times. Right? That's what he's known for. That phrase, Achrei HaPu'ulos, Nimshachos HaLevavos. Number three. So number one, sacrifice. Number two, freedom. Real freedom. Number three, real benefits. Number four, and this is what connects to this week's parsha. Number four, limitations. It's good for us to be reminded that we have limitations and we are limited. We're not the bialim in this world. We're not in charge. And therefore, being told what to do by a higher authority, by the higher authority, is something that's beneficial for us, recognizing that we're not making all the decisions, especially seen through the chukim, this week's parsha. Right? You have that Rambam, a different Rambam, actually. The Rambam at the end of Me'ilah, which was discussed the past two nights, is one Rambam where he talks about Tamei Mitzvos, but the end of Tzmura, which is at the end of Sefer Karbanos, is another one, where the Rambam says in Surah 16, what are all Mitzvos about? 16. It's a beautiful Rambam. I like to call it a refrigerator Rambam. Right? Put it on the fridge. Says the Rambam, what are all Mitzvos about? Kol Eilu Advarim, Kedei Lakuf Es Yitzro Ulesakin Deosav. Mitzvos are about limiting and perfecting our religious personality. Verov dini Torah, and the majority of the din of the Torah, Einon Ella, Eitzos Meirachok Meigadol HaEitza. Advice from afar, from the great advisor. Eitzos Meirachok Meigadol HaEitza, L'sakin Adeus Eliyashar Kalamasim. It reminds us that he's the great advisor, and he knows what's good for us, and when we recognize that we're not in charge, and there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu up in Shamayim, that itself is good for us, to realize that we are limited in life. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky discusses, why is it that in Mara, before we even got to Mount of Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to give us some mitzvos. Certain mitzvahs is as if Hashem felt, I can't wait another few weeks. Just right now, right after Grace Yamsov, I have to give you these mitzvahs, can't wait till Mamet Arsina. So we would think that they're defining mitzvahs that Hashem needed to give us. So which mitzvahs did he give us? Shabbos, good. Kibbutz of Aim, Haraduma. Paraduma is so important for us to have. We couldn't do Paraduma yet. We didn't have a Paraduma. We didn't have a Mishkan. We didn't have a Mizbeach. Why do we need Paraduma already? In Mara. Because we needed the message of Paraduma. Because Shabbos is the one that figures things out and understands everything. Human beings are finite, are limited. And if our behavior is limited, and even the things that we're asked to do sometimes is beyond our human intellect,
that's a good thing.
In that same article, Rav Yaakov Avigdachter quotes Rav Amital, who says that he used to tell people who were just becoming frum, pick three mitzvahs to do. Three mitzvahs. One bein adam l'makom, one bein adam l'chavero, and one chok. Because each of those teach us something. Bein adam l'makom, bein adam l'chavero, and one that totally makes no sense to you. Because that's the message that a Jew needs to recognize, that he's not in charge. And that's what he advised those who were just becoming frum. See, in source 20, I gave it to you. By choosing a mitzvah they did not understand, the learners would adjust their psyche to recognize it's not necessary to fathom every command of Hashem in order to function as a fully committed Jew. I don't understand it, okay? We're not supposed to understand everything, but that's okay. And that's why there are some mitzvahs that make sense and some mitzvahs that don't make sense. And our whole essence of life is limited, but not in a way that's supposed to hold us back, in a way that's supposed to help us recognize that we're not in charge of life. So when we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, when we sacrifice for Hashem, it builds the relationship, like in a marriage. Number two, there's no greater freedom than connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not being a slave to anything else in the world. Number three, there are real benefits, both in this world, Shabbos, Nida, the others, Achrei Pulos and Shachas Alavavos, the 100 mitzvahs in the Chinuch, number three. Number four, the idea of limitations is a good thing for us to recognize. And finally, number five. Finally, number five, Simchas Achai. There's a certain fulfillment and happiness in life that comes with a life filled with mitzvos. The Arizal wrote that anything that he accomplished in his life, he felt, I guess he knew, was only as a schar for the simcha he felt when he did mitzvos. He says that simcha that he felt, he says that was what made him able to achieve what he did. Everything achieved in life is because of the simcha shel mitzvah. And that's only by experiencing. You can't. There are certain things, or Pincus writes about this, there are certain things that you can't describe. If somebody never tasted something spicy, what does it taste like? Spicy. What does that mean? Spicy. You can't describe a taste. Sweet, it's sweet. What is sweet? How do you... pain. He writes. How do you describe pain? It hurts. What does it hurt like? Really hurts. So what do? Scale of 1 to 10. So we quantify it, but we can't describe it. Certain things can't be described. See, he writes, or Pincus writes, the experience of Shabbos can't be described. Try to explain. That's why he says we sing at the beginning of Shabbos so much. Because you can't describe it, so just sing about it. Because sometimes singing, you kind of like experience it while you sing it. L'chadodi and all the Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what he writes. But one can generalize it and say, the experience of being an Eved Hashem, with every single area of my life, Hashem tells me how to sanctify it. There's no greater simcha than that. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes often in his writings, I gave you one tshuva in source 21, he says, it's so chaval, so to speak, that people who are involved in Torah, that Rebbeim, Mechanchim, but even parents who have the attitude of Shveretz Zayin, it's so hard, it's so difficult. And Rav Moshe says, and that's not going to pass down to the kids, because the kids are going to look at the parents and say, wow, it's hard for him, forget me, I for sure can't do it. We have to give off the impression that, oh, this is awesome. This is so good. There's nothing better than being an Ovid Hashem. This is the greatest. Says Rav Moshe, that's our goal in life. Right, and that's the Rambam. The Rambam, some of you remember Sefer Makos, the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, when the Rambam describes, he has in one line, when the Rambam describes that if somebody has to go to Ir Miklat, his Rebbe has to go with him. So what does the Rambam say? Because it says you have to live in the Ir Miklat. And if you don't have your Rebbe, you're not living. Because we know what real life is. I tell a story that Rav Yonatan Eibishus was once davening, and his Talmidim were next to him and listening to him daven. And they listened closely, and they thought he skipped a bracha. So they waited till the next day, and they hear again. 3 days in a row. They listened and he skipped the bracha. And they go to him. Chilas Kvod Rebbe, can we ask you a question? Sure. It seems like you skipped the bracha. Which bracha? Shalos Hanigud. He starts laughing. Says, what are you laughing about? He says, you think I'm going to wait till I get to shul to say Shalos Hanigud? I wake up in the morning. I am so excited to have another day of Avodas Hashem. I'm not going to wait till I get to shul. I say it right then. I can't stop. Ashreinu Adam Chalkeinu. When I wake up in the morning. Because he had such simcha. And that's something that can't be described in words, really. Rish Lakish writes, in Medrash Shir HaShirim, right, there's no greater simcha. Call me Shamar Divrei Torah, Vein and Arev and Al Shomei, Kakala Zoo. It's got to be like excitement, like a chasen and a kawa. Right, that's the excitement. Because this is our life. Rabbi Akiva knew that until his dying day. But this is why there's a whole package of 613. Because Hashem knows what gives us fulfillment, and what gives us simcha, and what gives us a meaning for life. So why are there so many mitzvahs? So, the more sacrifice we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer we are to Him, the closer He is to us, the more freedom we feel, the greater good it is for us in life, and limitations are good for human beings to know that they are not in charge. And finally, Simchas Lachaim with the whole package, Yehi Ratzon that we should appreciate all of these mitzvahs that we have and be able to do each of them with the proper fulfillment of Ez Hashem. Amen.